we're going to start by switching or turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. So we're going to head back to that series of Matthew. And can we check if this is working? Because it's not on my thing. Okay, that's not what it's supposed to look like. Please continue flipping. That's okay, the PowerPoint didn't work the last time I wanted this to happen, so I'm completely okay with that view. Yes. I have good slides this time, so I wanted to be able to share them. So I'm like, if this doesn't work, but we're good. Okay, so this is a crossing over into the kingdom of living. So remember, we were talking about kingdom living, we were going through Matthew, and so we're going to be picking that series back up. So let's hit 16. 6:16 to 18. All right. Paperwork's done. All right. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So let's just pray together. Father, as we talk about the rewards and the power that you have put in fasting, I ask that you would just put aside any preconceptions that we have in our hearts, Father, and that we would just hear directly from you. Father, would you use the breakthrough that I've had to help share what you're sharing on fasting today? Father, would you help us grow deeper in intimacy with you today as we talk about fasting? And would we just learn that you have the ultimate desires for our hearts, Papa, and that you want us to live this extravagant life that you've put us on earth for so desperately, and how you show it in your word. So, Father, would you just come and would you liven up your scriptures to each one of us? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the power of fasting. So rule number one for fasting, it's not about others knowing. Okay, so when Steve was talking about prayer, he was talking about, you know, what's done, God sees what's done in secret. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here, you know, because in verse 6 in the same chapter, Matthew 16, Jesus was talking about prayer, and he said, he was talking about the Pharisees, and he said, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners. And so it's kind of like, is it just me or is God making a point here? You know, he doesn't want you to be showy about your Christianity. He doesn't want you to be showy about your walk. He's saying that he wants you to live it. Right? Because he's saying, don't stand on the street corner and pray and make a big scene. He's saying, pray with power, pray with purpose. And so I was like, okay. And when I looked at fasting, he was saying the same thing. And we all believe that there's power in prayer. Amen? And so for me, that just kind of connected the dots, the fact that he put the same importance in fasting that he put on prayer. And so here's the verse here. And so it's not to be seen by men. All right, rule for fasting two, it's about God knowing. And so in verse 18, it's so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father. And so this is him saying that he wants relationship with you. Okay, for me, my example comes from like my first month being married to Linda. It was like, you know, we were just getting used to being married, sharing a bed, waking up and going to bed together, all those kinds of things. And sometimes I say some really sweet but kind of corny Hallmarkish things. You know, that's just kind of who I am as a person. And I thought I was being, you know, sweet with my wife until one of her friends told me something that I had said the night before. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of embarrassing to hear it coming from somebody else. I can't believe I said that. And it was like a blush moment. And I was like, And so, but God brought that to my remembrance when I was reading this, because it's like God wants to have those secret times with us. God wants to have those special times with us where we share things that are only with him. And so I saw fasting as one of those things. And when I saw it in relation to my marriage with Linda, I was like, okay, I understand this better now, right? Because if it's something secret and sacred that you share with your spouse, God's putting that same importance on fasting, and he's saying, this is a me and you thing. And I was like, okay then, we'll take this a little bit more seriously. Going to rule number three. God has rewards for fasters. And for me, I would much rather have God's reward than the accolades of man. right? It's cool to do a good job at work and have your boss say, hey, that's a good job, and for everybody to see it. But it's even better when you can like get a promotion and nobody know why. But really, it's because you've been busting your tail when nobody sees it. And so I was just like, you know, God has rewards for things that are done in the unseen. When we talk about the secret place, we talk about the secret place for a reason. And so this is just another thing to add to your arsenal of prayer weapons to work out with God on your own. And for me, like, the ultimate reward of fasting has come through Linda. Because when I was a cyclist in the States and I was living in California, moving from California to Winnipeg is a tough deal. You know, it's like, when I tell people that, they're like, are you serious? And then I tell them that I moved in September, like right before winter, they're like, dude, what were you thinking? And yeah, it makes no logical sense. And before I left, I had to take a fast and be like, God, is this really what you're saying? Because I kind of wanted to stay in California, I'm not going to lie. You know, and so God really had to change my heart, and I needed to hear clearly from him. But it's worked out to be one of the greatest physical rewards that I've had in my life that I wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. So that's me putting a plug in for the rewards of fasting being absolutely amazing. All right, we're going to look at a short history of fasting, and we're going to read through a couple of these, and some we're going to sit on for a bit, because with fasting, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. There's times where it has power, there's times where it has breakthrough. So we just talked about a reward of fasting. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, fasting has rewards. And so for me, when I came, I kind of knew that I wanted to find a Canadian wife. I was into that. And so God totally blessed that. And it came through fasting. So that was the reward. Now we're going to look at some of the rewards that happened in the Old Testament. So Old Testament law required prayer and fasting for only one occasion, which was the Day of Atonement, which became known as the Day of Fasting. And you can find out about that in Jeremiah 36. Now, a big fast was Moses fasted for 40 days and nights when he was on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. Now, that's a big deal, and that's the first recorded long fast in the Bible. And that kind of set the course for history. So for me, that put a stamp on the importance of fasting again, because those 10 commandments in the time that Moses spent up there set direction for Israel for kind of the rest of time. And so when we're really seeking God, when we're able to get away, fast and pray and seek him, who knows? You can change the course of history for not only your family, but for others as well. This is one we're going to sit on for a bit. King Jehoshaphat called for a fast for all of Judah when they were about to be attacked by the Moabites and the Amorites. So let's flip our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Now, Jehoshaphat kind of knew that they were going to get their butt kicked because he was outnumbered, scholars say, 20 to 1. Being in the Marines, 20 to 1 is not good odds. In betting, 20 to 1 is not good odds. And so he's like, we're going to lose. Like, there's not a feasible chance that we're going to win this battle. And so he had to call on God. He's like, I don't have the strength to do it, but I'm going to pull on some of God's strength. And in like a military thing, I'm like, He needed God's guns. That's what it came down to. But he took a huge stand, and we're going to look at the 20 verse 3 here. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek God and proclaimed a fast through all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, and they even came from all cities of Judah to seek the Lord together. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler over all of the earth? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. And he goes on and he talks about the promises of God and who God is. And he was like, God, I know who you are and I know that you can rescue us. And he was doing it as a point of desperation, saying, you know, the king had the best food. He's saying, I'm putting that aside. I'm becoming one with my brothers of Israel, and we are going to fast for the Lord together. And they were fasting for victory. And so I want you to look to your neighbor and say, fasting is victorious. And if you don't believe that fasting is victorious, flip the page and look over at verse 22. Because this is where it gets a little bit intense. Because I really like war stories in the Bible. Like, really. Because they can be dramatic, and, you know, we're just about to start watching The Pacific. I don't know if anybody knows of The Pacific. It's kind of like the follow-on to The Band of Brothers, World War I, II, Korea kind of stuff. And so it's like the battles are so dramatic. And I'm like, wow, it's not really like that anymore. But to see what it was like back in the day, let's start in verse 22. And so when the people of Israel began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the son of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely, and when they had finished the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy each other. So God put total confusion into the enemies so that they ended up attacking each other. Okay, how many people need the enemy's butt kicked somewhere in their life? I'm there. I know I've got stuff that I'm like, God, man, we really got to get through this. And as I was preparing this message, it was like, tap, tap, tap. Have you fasted for it? Have you really shown God your desperation? Because look what continued to happen. When Judah came to look out of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuables. Folks, it took them 3 days to gather the spoils of war. That's 3 days of, like, gold, riches, all these things that they hadn't had before. That's victory. That shows me that there is wealth that comes through fasting. And so that's one of the things that we do as a church. When there's a big financial decision to be made, Steve will often say, hey, pastors, you know, let's take a few days. Let's do a Daniel fast. Let's do a water fast. And we'll seek God together through fasting. And we have found that each decision that we've made at the end of that has been just amazingly prosperous. And I want to speak that into each one of our hearts and our lives as well, is that fasting is prosperous. Let's say that one to our neighbor. Fasting is prosperous. Because we're building all these things into fasting and we're speaking them out so that we get them inside of us. Because, guys, fasting is one of these keys that unlocks so many spiritual blessings that I just don't know why we don't do it more. And I'm working, like, I have a little side venture that I work on with a friend, and we're working on our biggest contract this next week. And it's like $100,000, so to some people that's not that big of a deal. But for us, it's a huge deal. And so we've declared that we're going to take the next 2 days to fast because we really want God to bless this event that we're putting on and things like that. And so we've seen that God's been faithful and prosperous. And so we're like, God, we're going to call you on this and we're just going to really seek after you. And so I really encourage you guys to do the same because let's just say it works. All right. Now, Jonah 3 verse 5. In response to Jonah's preaching, the men of Nineveh fasted and put on sackcloth. So Jonah was saying in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown and that's it. So again, here's the king saying to all his people, guys, we got to fast. We need to turn God's face on this one because we're going to get wiped out. And he was like, well, I don't really want my whole country to be wiped out. And then if you look at verse 10, God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared and would not bring upon them. And so he did not destroy Nineveh nor their city. So it's kind of like the king was like, God, I'm getting your attention. We're fasting. We want you to notice us. You know, and it's not like it's a works thing, but it's a heart of desperation. And that's where the line can be sometimes confused between works and desperation. Because, you know, we see these things and we're like, oh, if we check this box, and this box, God will do this. It's not a formula. It's about where our hearts are at. But when our hearts are compelled by desperation to fasting for me, that means I'm pretty desperate, you know? And so we can totally take that up with God, and God sees that, and he honors that. Because if he can save, like, just a really wicked country, how much more does he not love each one of us to be like, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. I'm there for you. All right, other times when people fast, David fasted when he learned that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. And so fasting can come in a time of mourning and in times of distress and trouble. Anna fasted for like, I don't even know how long. My dad thinks that she fasted for like 40 years. And I was just like, really? Because it doesn't talk about her eating though. If you read it, it says that she was in the temple day and night fasting and praying. It's like 24 when you watch Jack. The dude never eats. And so, but it says that Anna was there fasting and praying. That's just what she was doing. And so I can agree with my dad on this one. He's a biblical scholar. He's got his master's in theology and those kind of good things. And it's like, yeah, Holy Spirit can totally fuel you for the journey. Joshua Mills is here talking about angels giving him gold flecks to eat, right? The miraculous can happen when you fast, and it can be extravagantly, supernaturally amazing. And so fasting is a discipline that most non-Western believers practice as often as they should. So I had to Wikipedia fasting, and all of the Eastern religions, Hindu, Muslim, on down the line, all firmly believe in fasting because fasting has been set in their culture. Now, I don't understand why they do it because their gods are dead. But for us, how much more should we not do it because our gods are alive? And so for me, I was like, well, okay, one more check in the box for why to fast. New Testament example, just in case you needed one of these. Acts 13, verse 2. Okay, getting ready for a missions trip in Acts 13. Let's actually flip to that one as well. I don't know if I have that one marked. Oh, I do. All right, Acts chapter 13, verse 3. It's a one-verser, but it's kind of an important one. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That was kind of it. They prayed and they fasted and they sent them away. Now, if you look at what the going out is, it's a huge deal. And you want, like, when we pray for people to go out, in my heart, I'm always thinking, I want to give them the absolute best that God's given me, that I can empower them to go out and impact the world. And so the fact that these guys in Antioch fasted before they did that, to me, it was kind of like they were kinetically bottling up the Holy Spirit and being like, pow! You know, they were giving them their best. They were giving them the best Holy Spirit that was in them, and they fasted before that. And so I was just like, okay, fasting it is. Let's see, what else do we have in here? John the Baptist taught on fasting. Jesus fasted. Some people use Mark 9:15 as a cop-out for not fasting. Okay, when Jesus says things in the Old Testament, or when God says things in the Old Testament and then Jesus talks about in the New Testament, that's a clarification, not necessarily an overwrite. So let's look at this one a bit. Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." So Jesus is talking about his own ascension into heaven. And some people say, well, we have Holy Spirit with us. Yes and amen, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, Holy Spirit's living in us. That also means that the bridegroom is in us, right? But what Jesus is saying is he was talking about his person going into heaven, and he's also saying when I'm taken away, there's going to be a reason for people to fast. And if he's talking about the fasting before the bridegroom returns, but someday the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Well, church, it's time to fast. We're getting in that season of preparing for the bridegroom's return. And so I want to do everything that I can for my heart to be ready, for my generation to be ready, for each one of us to be ready. And so to me, the scripture is saying that fasting is one of those things. And Jesus never spoke against fasting. Okay, he never said, do not fast. I think part of what he was saying too is like, guys, we're really busy right now. If you just read like the last third of the Bible, that's the New Testament where Jesus was on earth, it's like that's a lot of doing in 3 years. And I know for myself, when I'm riding my bike, riding the bike and fasting don't always work the best together. It happens, but you need that energy fuel. And when they're walking 2 miles to this city and 22 miles to that city, I'm sure that they needed it. And I'm sure that John's disciples did too. But what Jesus is saying is right now we're focusing on the mission. And there's going to come a season for fasting, but right now this is not it. But if that season wasn't fasting and that's a 2,000-year-old season, I think that we're in a season where fasting is okay. All right. There's a book called Fasting for Dummies that Steve really likes. And he's pulled a couple of quotes from there for me to use. And so it talks about fasting providing self-discipline in an undisciplined age. Now, this is my own spin. I didn't write down the author, so don't tell them that I didn't cite him. But so he talks about, like, the microwave generation, which he called, like, the 20 and 30-somethings. But, guys, I live in the Google generation. Microwaves are already a thing of the past, right? So in microwaves, it was like you could have your dinner in 4 minutes flat, and it would be good. Now we have super microwaves where you can have your dinner in 2 minutes. I have a BlackBerry with Google where I can type in the word fast and get 64 million definitions in 0.34 seconds. That is my generation. Self-discipline isn't something that we practice very much because we have so much at our fingertips and our disposal. And when we want to experience self-discipline, there's so many things in this world that are just better places when we have the discipline for it, and fasting is a great tool to help you instill discipline in your life for other things. Let's see, does the next slide talk about that? Yes, yes it does. It talks about self-control, also a very cool thing. There were a couple never-seen TV commercials that were listed in this book, and it said, buy this later when you can actually afford it. You know, when you actually have the cash. Credit? Yeah, don't worry about that, you know? Eat just one of your cookies so you can have some tomorrow. That whole concept of savings doesn't really come out in TV today. But fasting offers a way to impose self-control in your life, and it gives you a splash in the face. For me, I like to think of Daniel with fasting. Because Daniel ended up being one of the most important people in his country at the time, and he prayed and fasted daily. Right? Daniel fasted through breakfast, and he had a healthy but regimented diet of vegetables and whatever else. And that was before they had all the fake vegetables that they had today, so I'm guessing they didn't taste as good as they do now. And I was just like, man, you know, if this lifestyle of fasting is able to promote someone from a kid to being an A student to being a ruler of a nation, that's something to think of, folks, because we're called to lead and to rule the earth. And Daniel found the secret to that through fasting. Fasting combined with prayer. And so I was like, that is awesome. And self-control, if you look at Galatians 5:22, is also a fruit of the Spirit. Right? Self-control isn't a fruit of the flesh. It can be if we look at it as legalism and being legalistic, but it's saying that it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so this is a fruit of the Spirit that we can actually practice in self-control, and we can do it through fasting. And so that was just a practical implication of it. The benefits of fasting can rub off on your relationship with God. So it talks about, the restraints and things like that that come through fasting, but it also is setting aside that time. You know, for my wife and I, we've gone through seasons where we've fasted television, or we fasted, like, computer games, or just different things that we were finding were taking up some of our time. For my mom, honest to goodness, she sometimes fasts gardening, right? Because she'll spend, like, her whole evening in the garden for a week straight and be like, I didn't really get much time with God this week, and she'll fast gardening. And that'll be her way of putting that time aside. So whatever it looks like for you, you want this, like, fasting is a tool to help build that intimacy and that relationship with God. And so whatever is kind of taking that from you, that's something to look at and be like, God, are you asking me to fast in this area? If I give this area up, will our relationship grow? So those are some interesting questions that you can ask yourself. All right, fasting fosters concentration on God and His will. A hungry stomach makes you more aware and alert to what God is trying to say to you. I'm going to talk about the practical and then the spiritual side of this. In the Marines, we would go on these four-hour fire watches, what we called it. And so it'd be like, I was a sergeant of the guard, so I'd have my 12 guys, and we would patrol and protect the camp for 8 hours at a time. Now, during these 8 hours, we wouldn't eat or really rest. We'd stay on our feet the whole time to be as alert as possible. And we'd, like, have our ears uncovered and do all these things that you do so that you can hear. But the reason we wouldn't eat, and because you'd think, oh, yeah, eat before your shift so that you have the energy to last you those 8 hours. Well, we would eat at the end, because what happens when you eat? You want to take a little snooze, right? Your body's like, we got to do some work. When I was growing up and my grandmother was still alive, she was a German lady, and good Lord, would that woman make you eat. You know, it'd be like, oh, do you want another pierogi? Here, have some more vranica. And so by the time we left grandma's house, we were always like 15 pounds heavier than when we got there. But the German people had something called Mittagsschlaf, and it was like the after-meal nap. And so after eating lunch at my grandma's house for like the first 10 years of my life, I understand why they had a Medishlo, because you ate so much and your body became lethargic and you'd sleep. Well, the same thing is happens for our mental capacity. You know, when, is anybody here a teacher? School, university? There's a couple hands. I never wanted to go to the class after lunch because I was tired. I'm guessing it's that much harder to teach the class after lunch. Am I right? I see a couple smiles. And so that's just one of those things. You know, after we eat, we don't necessarily hear things as clearly in the natural. So how much more in the supernatural? So this self-starvation, if you want to call it that, talking about food fasting, or even talking about setting aside other things to open up that time, what we're doing is we're opening up our hearts, we're opening up our ears, we're causing our systems to be more alert. And when we're wanting to hear from God for something that's important, like Jehoshaphat, about not getting our behinds kicked, or even about sending people out on missions, about making a financial decision, about making a lifelong decision, these are excellent opportunities to fast, and we want to be as alert as possible to hear from God. And so this is saying that fasting can help you do that. Another one, it's a real-life illustration of dependency. Need food. When you don't have it, you're dependent. Fasting prepares you for a big decision or an important event. So we've talked about a couple of those. And that's usually the most common reason that people fast, is in preparation. And how many know that our lives are a life filled with preparation? Every day is preparing for the next. And so there's always a reason and an opportunity to fast. Fasting often surrounds God's special work in the world. Here it talks about the Great Awakening in the 1700s. John and Carol talk about their season of fasting that they took out to spend time with the Lord. Great moves of God often can be birthed out of a place of fasting because you're hearing from the Lord so clearly. So if you want a revival in your own heart, you can start with your stomach. That one took a second, but it's okay. Fasting empowers. And so this is what we've been talking about the whole time, and this is why I found that renewed vigor to talk about fasting, because it empowers your walk with the Lord. And guys, I want to see each one of us walk in the full power of the Holy Spirit that He's put inside of us. And fasting is a tool to help us tap into that, to hear that more clearly. Are you guys feeling that? Or going through this? Are you understanding that a little bit more clearly? Fasting is opening up that key to blessing that God has for us through His Holy Spirit, through hearing His voice. And so I'm just really excited about it. All right. So that's the spiel on fasting. It's not the same as I've talked about it before. It's not as legalistic. It's just, you know what, guys? Fasting is such a blessing. And I'm so excited for Tuesday to roll around, because that's when I'm starting our fast that we're going to do. And that's the same excitement that I want to instill in each one of our hearts, because I want us to be excited about the things of God. I want it to be excited about what God's going to do in our lives, in our businesses, and in our generations. And sometimes we need that little bit of help. We need that little extra push. And to me, it looks like fasting is what gives that push. Right? If the people of Nineveh can save a country, if Jehoshaphat can save a country, if the church in Antioch can fast and pray for their missionaries and they go forward and change the world, if Jesus can fast for 40 days in the desert and change the world, if Moses can fast for 40 days in Mount Sinai and hear from God 10 rules that, you know, have changed the course of history and the laws ever since that day, fasting can be a huge breakthrough for your life. Fasting has been a huge breakthrough and brought about incredible rewards in my own life. And so now we're going to ask God what He's saying to us about fasting. So what is God saying to you today? So let's just take this moment. You can close your eyes. You can quiet your heart. Marcel, can you come do some strummy strummy? And so what is God saying to you today? Holy Spirit, we're just taking this time right now to hear from You. God, we've been fasting since breakfast, and we want to hear from You. We want to hear what You have for our day. We want to hear what You have for our life. Holy Spirit, would You speak to us right now? Yeah, as we create just this space of quiet, Holy Spirit, would You come, and would You speak to each one of us? I want you to ask the Father if fasting is going to create an opportunity for you to hear him more clearly. You can just be like, Daddy, I want to hear you more clearly. Is fasting something that would help me? And you know, in the scriptures that we've just read, the Bible says yes, but I want you to hear it from God for you directly. Because there's nothing that can move us or compel us like the voice of God. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak to us? Yeah, Father, we want to hear you clearly every moment of the day. We just want to be walking conduits. We just want to be walking receptacles of your presence. And God, you know, guys, for me, I even ask God about which lane to take on the freeway, whether to take collectors or express. And every time I listen, it's amazing. And so, God, we just want to hear you clearly every step of the way. And if fasting is going to unlock that to us, would you just put fasting on our hearts right now? We talked about fasting being breakthrough. Is there an area in your life where you need breakthrough? I'm sure that one only took a second because we all need breakthrough somewhere. So, Father, what would you have me fast that I could hear from you and that it would unlock that key of breakthrough? Because you know how Darren spoke about there being freedom. When Peter was stuck in jail, we all need freedom. Every step of the way. You know, it's kind of like we go from glory to glory, but guys, we go from freedom to freedom too. And so, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you've given us a key in fasting to unlock that freedom. And just let that sink into your heart a sec. Because fasting equals freedom. And if you're a faster, I know that you've seen the result of it. I know in my heart that even if it's been the smallest breakthrough that you've felt it and that you know that it's there. And if you're like me and you fast in times of desperation, this is an awesome opportunity and a call to make it part of your everyday life. Even if you don't fast every day, it's something that you can make a seasonal thing. It's something that we can hear from God on. Because when we walk in that breakthrough, we're going to walk in the promises of God and the victory that he has for us through his freedoms. Practically, honesty heart check right here. Are you lacking in discipline? For myself, I used to be an late to bed, early to rise guy. And I'd be up at 6 a.m. and some of that would be my God time, some of that would be my bike time. Lately, I've started sleeping until like 7 or 7:30 and I've lost some of that discipline. And I'm like, God, I really want to get that back in check because that's my quiet time with you. And that's truly dear to my heart. And I notice the changes in the rest of my life. And so we can even think of areas. Just right now, you can think of an area where you could be more disciplined or where you could have some of that discipline come back. And I'm just encouraging you to see fasting as a key that can help bring discipline. So, Father, in any area of our lives where we need discipline, we're acknowledging right now that we need your help. Because, guys, since the fall of man, we've been selfish creatures and we've been looking to ourselves. But, God, we're choosing right now to look to you. We're choosing for you to help keep us in check on the things that keep us honorable to you, on the things that keep us in line with the plan and the purpose that you have for us. And Father, I want to choose something to fast that will help me make more discipline. For myself, Sam Dumcombe, that's setting the alarm a little bit earlier and getting up without hitting the snooze button. But for each one of us, we have something that we can ask. And now, is God asking for you to focus on him for a day or more this week? A day or more this week. Just be like, God, what are you asking me to focus on you this week? You know, leading up to Linda's surgery last week, it was lunches. And guys, skipping a meal doesn't count as fasting. Well, it does count as fasting because you can be like, God, I'm desperate to the point of skipping my lunch. but sometimes I would just be working through lunch and not eating. It's setting that time aside to spend it with God, whatever you're fasting. So for us, when we would fast television, that hour a night or whatever we'd spend watching TV, we would make sure that we would still block that time off with God. So right now, in your own heart, be like, Holy Spirit, what are you asking me to fast? What are you asking me to do that will help me to spend more time with you? What are you calling me to this week? Yeah, so Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you would speak to each one of us about fasting, about spending time with you, and about intimacy. We're just going to spend another couple seconds to let him sink in. Because, you know, intimacy is a two-way street. We love because he first loved us. And when we think about fasting, that seems a little bit of a stickler, a little bit of a strict thing. Just let him speak that love into your heart that he has. Let him speak that breakthrough. Let him speak that abounding joy that he has placed inside of you, that his Holy Spirit is, that's living inside of you.